向中间，Please face front. Bow. Bow. Please be seated.
各位佛友大家好。
Good morning, everyone.
我想大家一定会知道说我这个保温杯里面的一定是茶。好、哦。那么我把这个茶倒到这个保温杯里面啊，现在呢是作为什么呢？作为一种饮料。那么这个饮料的作用呢是我如果讲话讲太多的时候啊，那个口干了，那就需要喝水喝饮料。那么我在喝的时候呢，喝的就是茶。所以茶呢在这个阶段呢是饮料的功能、哦、所以它是饮料的功能，只是帮助我润我的喉咙、哦、所以呢这个是什么茶，这个茶好不好喝对我来说呢它不那么重要了，重要是这个茶喝了我的喉咙或者是我的口腔会比较润湿，那么讲话的时候呢可能讲得比较好听一点吧。好、
哦、So I guess if you take a look at this
好像没有开呢。
So everyone sees this thermos on the table here, and you're probably wondering what's inside this thermos. And actually, it's tea. I have tea inside the thermos. But actually, the tea at this point is just a kind of drink. The function of this tea in my thermos is just a drink. Because actually when I'm talking, giving the Dharma talk, maybe my throat will get a little dry, my mouth will get dry. So I take this drink to moisten my mouth, my throat, and it makes it easier to talk. And also, maybe when I'm talking, my voice will sound better because I have this drink to quench my thirst and also to moisten my mouth. So whether this tea is tasty or not, whether it's good tea or whatever the quality is, that's not so important actually. Because at this point, this tea, the purpose of having this tea is just to serve as a kind of drink.
那么这个是茶的一种功能，那么也很多人大概就把茶当作一种饮料来处理。那么实际上呢，最早中国人最早发现到这个茶的时候，这个茶的作用呢是药，是一种药，治病用的药。当然有一些传说。 这个很美丽的传说，因为中国呢最早出现的这个一些记载，那这个记载呢可能里面有一些所谓神话或者是传说的这个成分，说我们其中一个很早很早的一个有智慧的人，好像我们的老祖先，那么呢他是第一个发现到这个茶，他发现到这个茶呢是他。 因为他本身呢就是一个，应该是一个像医师，这个研究草药啊，或者是研究这个农业的。那么他研究草药的方式呢，就是他去尝不同的这个草药，然后在尝这个不同草药的时候呢，他就会知道这个草药有什么功能。 那么听说呢，他在尝这个草药的时候，有一次呢就尝到一种毒草，那么这个毒草发作的时候呢，他就倒下来了。倒下来的时候，他又发现到说旁边也有另外一种草药，那就拿那个草药来把它吃下去，就把他的这个毒呢解掉了。所以呢，他就发现到说，哦，原来这种 草药呢是可以治病、可以消毒的，那么它就把它叫做荼，早期叫荼，后来叫做茶。当然，这个故事呢，还有更多的传说，有些都讲得非常的好，非常的美。不过呢，主要的就是告诉我们说，中国人最早发现茶的时候呢，是一种草药，那么是治病的作用。
So in talking about tea, or in drinking tea, for the most part, people these days just see tea as another kind of drink, another kind of beverage, and people use it that way, just as a drink, something to enjoy. Whereas if we look at the origins of tea, in the earliest times, if we look back to the history of tea in China, tea was originally used as a kind of medicine, actually. And in China, in the Chinese history, there's a great many records and number of recordings, and there's actually legends about how tea came to be or how it was discovered. There's many different kinds of legends. One of them was that you could say one of the ancestors in China's history, he was a person who did research into different kinds of herbs and medicines. He was, you could say, an ancient kind of doctor. So he would go around and test these different plants, test these different herbs to see what their effect was. And, you know, through this process of testing, one day he happened to test a certain kind of herb, and it turned out to be poisonous. And so he actually, after ingesting this herb or this drink, he passed out, or he fell over. And actually where he fell, he noticed that next to him, there was another kind of herb, another kind of medicinal plant. So he took that, and he ingested it, he drank it, and it actually got rid of the poison. And supposedly, that's when tea was discovered. And so this is one of the legends, one of the many, many different kinds of legends and stories that was passed on until today about how tea came to be discovered. And actually, the word for tea in ancient times was another character altogether, pronounced tu. And it kind of symbolizes a bitter kind of herb. And nowadays, it's been changed to the word cha, and it means tea, of course.
那么这个人呢, 叫做神龙, 哦, 他的名字叫神龙。 那么, 当然在中国的历史, 有这一号人物, 也有很多传说。 那在这个里面呢, 还有一个, 中国, 或者是我们, 中国人的一种观念, 哦, 也包括了这种草药的一些观念, 就是说, 你在某个地方发现某一些东西, 那么在附近呢, 一定有它相克的这个, 另外一种, 比如说这个草是有毒的, 那么它旁边一定有相克的, 那种解药在那边, 这个是中国人的一种观念, 因为阴阳嘛, 就所有的一切存在它都是相对的, 所以好像, 也有这种说法说, 如果你在某个地方被这个, 比如说毒蛇咬到, 它大概在附近就会有解药在那边, 那么中国人一直是有这种相信, 所以这个神龙尝到这个毒药的时候, 在尝到这个茶呢, 它是一个很自然的过程, 它可能也了解这种阴阳相克的一种道理, 那么也是中国的一种哲学。 那么现在呢, 我们还是, 有人用这个茶呢, 作为一种药, 早期呢, 我们比较, 穷的时候, 就是, 药, 就, 比如说, 现在的药店呢, 满街都是, 以前要找这个药店也不容易, 那么有时候呢, 我们小时候生一些小病, 比如说发烧啊, 或者是拉肚子啊, 之类的这种病呢, 那么一个方法是什么呢? 就是找那个, 比较旧的, 比较老的一些茶, 然后浓浓的泡一泡茶, 然后把那个茶灌下去, 热热的喝下去, 然后呢, 把被单包起来, 发一声这个汗了, 这个病大概就好了。 所以以前的人呢, 我们大概我们父母那一代呢, 祖父祖母那一代呢, 大概都还是用这种, 最简单的这个治疗的方法, 就是直接用茶来治疗一些, 平常的这些毛病。 所以基本上呢, 我们还是有用茶当药来用的这个观念, 或者是这样的一种做法。
So this historical person who is said to have discovered tea, his name again is Shen Long, and he's actually, you know, a historical figure in the records of Chinese history. And, you know, with regards to him finding this antidote very close by to this poisonous herb that he took, actually, in terms of Chinese philosophy and medicine, there's a saying that if you happen to find a poison in a certain place, whether it's like a poisonous plant or even a poisonous snake, poisonous animal, actually in that same region, that same area, you should be able to find the antidote. And this kind of concept or this understanding comes from the fact that every kind of phenomenon or thing's existence is relative to something else. You know, with this concept of yin and yang, so if there's a poisonous plant here, there must be the opposite. It's relative, or it's its opposite in the same area. So, you know, it's kind of natural for the Chinese to have this idea that antidotes are near the poison. And so in the story, it's also quite natural that the place where he found the poison, which made him sick, he could find the antidote. And as far as tea being used as medicine in modern times, well, you know, these days we have medicine, Chinese medicine, pharmacies all over the place, and pharmacies in general. They're everywhere. Whereas back in the day when things were a little bit more difficult and when we were poorer and people didn't, you know, you didn't see as many pharmacies around. It's kind of rare. There'd just be one at some certain location. Whereas for people who couldn't afford medicine or couldn't go to this place, what we would do is actually, instead of using medicine, we would find tea, actually really old tea, and prepare it, soak it, and soak it for a long time until it becomes very strong. And then, you know, all at once, drink this tea and, you know, take a rest. And afterwards, you may find that, you know, your whole body would perspire. And after that, you know, our sickness would be cured. And we'd use it for things like having a stomach ache, upset stomach, or a headache, or these kind of catching a cold, if we caught a cold. We would use this method. So even in modern times, tea is still used as a kind of medicine.
然后慢慢呢，这个茶呢就变成一种饮料。那么这个饮料呢，不是一般的饮料。啊，开始的时候呢，它还是有一种保健作用。那么现在呢，我们知道说，西方人喝茶呢，有一大部分呢，想要从茶得到的呢，就是一种保健的作用。啊，尤其现在流行这个绿茶，哦，好像。哇，四处都在喝绿茶，那么又说绿茶呢，这个维他命 C 非常的丰富，然后甚至呢说喝绿茶呢可以这个养颜啊保健养颜，那么大家喝多一点绿茶，大概可以这个不能说长生不老了，但是至少说这个青春啊不是永驻，但是呢住久一点的时间吧，哦。那所以呢，现在绿茶呢非常的普遍，那普遍到什么程度呢？就现在，饼干也有绿茶，冰淇淋也有绿茶，那都是用绿茶来做了，那就是一种保健的这个饮料。那么，茶发展到第二个阶段饮料，然后呢就再变成是一种保健品。那么当时呢，在中国也是这样子的一个过程，就从药。药是一种治病的作用，然后到保健的时候呢，就比药它更上一层，因为我们有病了，需要用药来治它。可是我们平时没有病的时候呢，我们多喝一点茶，那么保持自己的健康，就不需要再可能就比较不会生病了。我们说防患以未然嘛，或者是说这个保健。好过你生病才来治疗啊，这样子的一些作用呢，在这个茶的功能里面呢，就发挥出来。所以有一段时间呢，我们大家会喝茶，那是因为茶有保健的这个作用啊。
So in addition to being used as medicine, tea is also used as a kind of way to be healthy.To preserve our health. And like these days, we know that even in the West here, lots of people are drinking tea for health reasons. And we find that, you know, everywhere, all of a sudden, there's green tea, and there's green tea in everything. Green tea biscuits, green tea ice cream, green tea cake, and green tea everything. And one of the reasons is people hear that green tea has, you know, lots of vitamin C.It also has, well, it's an antioxidant, and it has all these benefits to our health. So people hear that and, you know, they want to maintain their health, and so we drink tea. And we can't say that, you know, by drinking tea it can totally preserve your health and you can be immortal by drinking tea. But maybe you can, lengthen the amount of time that you are very youthful and healthy. And so, in a sense, although it's not a magical cure, it's something that can be used to, again, to maintain our health. And so, not only is it used when you're sick, you know, as a kind of cure, but when you're not sick, tea can also be used to ordinarily maintain your health. And by being more healthy from drinking tea, maybe we would get sick less, have less of a chance of having all these different kinds of illnesses. So tea also has this function of preserving, being able to preserve our health.
成为保健的饮料，那么我们在喝保健品的时候呢，大概比较不讲究它的这个味道。有些保健品呢，其实真的是喝不下去。听说最近有一种保健品叫做 Ensure， 是吧？听说好难喝，可是有些人说它非常营养，所以呢，捏着鼻子都要把它喝下去。对，那它的功能在这边，所以你需要它，你就不喜欢还是要喝，或者是某一些保健品不喜欢还是要把它吞下去啊。可是呢，我们发现到说，茶呢，它不只是保健，它还好喝。不过呢，可能有一些人说茶怎么好喝呢？又苦又涩，茶的特色就是苦涩啊。它的这个茶泡出来的时候呢，它就有苦和涩的味道。那么这种情况呢，我们在喝的时候，有些时候呢是这个东西对保健有作用，但是它不怎么好喝，那我们怎么办呢？我们就想办法。所以刚才我们讲到那个 Ensure 那种饮品，本来听说是很不好喝的，后来呢人家加一些果汁下去，哎，变得很甜了，很好喝了。那么茶呢，我们在喝的时候它保健，然后发觉到说好像不怎么好喝，那怎么办呢？我们又要喝，所以就要想办法把它变成好喝。那么要把茶呢，从它的这个不是很好喝的味道把它转成好喝的味道，这个就要加一点功夫下去。那么中国人呢就把这个茶呢做了一些变化啊，那变化的方式呢就是所谓的用这个发酵的方法啊，然后用，而且呢你需要，平时我们需要用这个茶的时候呢，比如说我们现在要喝这个茶，然后就去采一叶然后来泡，或者是采几叶来泡，那么这样的方式呢太麻烦了。那怎么办呢？就是我把这个茶叶采下来，我再加工啊，那让它可以保存，然后呢保存一段很长的时间，我拿来泡还可以保存它的这个茶的原味，所以呢就制造了我们现在所看到的各种茶。早期的时候可能他们在喝的时候，就是要的时候就到这个树上呢去采几颗啊，采几个叶子然后来泡它，那么慢慢的就好像我们吃蔬菜一样啊，要的时候买这个新鲜的，慢慢发现到说这个新鲜的也要想办法让它保存，然后就会有一些加工的方法。那这些加工的方法呢在我们那边呢就有很多的方式。那么茶的方式呢就是用一种所谓发酵的方式呢来保存它。
And so in talking about these healthy drinks, we have lots of healthy drinks these days in addition to tea. And we find that some of these healthier drinks are kind of not really tasty. Maybe disgusting to some people. And you may have heard there's a kind of drink called Ensure. You hear that kind of drink, it's kind of like a malt, a healthy malt.And people say, this is, very nutritious. But, you know, the taste is terrible. So, So actually, because it's very healthy for you, and although it may not taste so great, some people found a way to make it bearable, make it tasty, and they would add what? Add fruit to it and make it into kind of a fruit smoothie. And then it's, you know, then it's tasty, nice and sweet, and it's tasty, but it's also healthy. So you're getting the health benefits from this kind of drink. And tea is the same. Some people think that, well, tea may be healthy for you, but, you know, tea isn't very delicious either. What, it's bitter, and it's bitter and also tart. Yeah, kind of tart or maybe a very coarse taste. And some people don't think tea is very tasty either. And so what do you do? Well, in China, they found a way to make the tea more tasty, to make it have flavor as well as having this nutritious quality to it. So the Chinese thought of a way to do this by either fermenting it, you know, preserving it in a certain way, or fermenting it and allowing it to still maintain its flavor and actually have a better flavor by fermenting it. Also, there's processes of fermenting and aging it, and so that over time, the tea also gains a kind of flavor as well as preserving its healthy quality. So just by adding a little bit of kind of skill and techniques to change the nature of the tea, you know, because originally when people wanted to drink tea, what they would do is just go to the plant, pull it off the plant, just like you went to go get, what, fresh vegetables. It's the same thing. They would take the fresh leaf, and then they would soak it and drink it, or boil it and drink it. And so later on, people thought of drying it out, fermenting it, and aging it, and in this way would change the flavor and make it flavorful, as well as having these nutritious and healthy qualities to it.
那么当我们把茶呢加工了以后，那么就希望说能够喝到比较好味道的、比较美味的这个茶。好，那么这个时候呢，茶它就从药、从保健品到一种美味的饮料。那么这个美味的饮料里面呢，它就包含了我们所谓的这个艺，就是艺术啊，就加入了艺术。因为艺术的意思呢，就是一种美感啊，美感呢就是包括了我们眼睛、我们的耳朵、我们的鼻子、我们的舌头跟我们身体呢，有一种很舒服啊、很美的那种感觉，那种作用在那边。那么茶呢，是一种用舌根来品的这种饮料啊，或者是一种啊，包括在食物里面啊，所以呢，我们的舌根在碰触到这个茶的时候呢，它会有一种很舒服的感觉，很美的感觉。那么我们要把茶呢泡出这种味道来啊。那我们发现到说，其实呢，不好意思哈、哦，像西方人喝茶，西方人喝茶呢，他们发现到说，这个茶经过完全发酵以后呢，我们叫红茶啊，就西方人叫 black tea。 那么这个红茶呢还是有点苦和涩的味道，那么怎么解决苦的味道呢？我们就加糖啊。怎么解决涩的味道呢？我们就加奶，所以呢就变成奶茶啊。那这个奶茶一加上去的时候呢，喝起来有一点点茶的味道，那很多牛奶的味道，很多糖的味道，那喝下去的时候呢，就不那么自然。但是呢，西方人喝茶呢，大概就是用这种方式来喝。那么在我们东方或者是中国的话呢，啊，我们就不加这些东西。但是呢，我们所谓的不加这个东西呢，还是有一个过程。早期呢，中国人喝茶还是有加东西的。啊，那个是 最比较早期的时候的一些记录呢，就是喝茶呢，他们是用煮的，然后加一些姜啊，加一些什么佐料下去喝，那个是比较早期的喝法。也就是说，茶制作了以后呢，要喝的时候啊，发现到说有这些味道，然后希望说能够把这些味道减掉呢，就要把它加一些东西啊。那么后来就近几百年传到西方的时候呢，那西方人呢就加奶加糖，就把这个茶的涩和苦的味道呢怎么样把它掩盖掉。但是在中国呢，就大概是汉代唐代以前喝茶还是有加佐料啊。
So with this processing that is done to the tea to make it have a better flavor, you could say this has become a kind of art. It's an art where we take something and try to give it a flavor which is very tasty. You know, because the purpose then, you know, now the tea has become more than just medicine, it becomes a beverage, then the whole process of trying to give it a tasty flavor, you know, it's an art. Because when people drink it, they want to enjoy it. They want to enjoy the, you know, the taste and the flavor. And, you know, because drinking tea involves the sense of taste. And if you want to appreciate the taste, well then, to be able to appreciate it, you have to have a good taste. So in creating this taste or flavor, it's become a kind of art form. But in the West, you know, I'm sorry to say, when Westerners drink tea, you know, tea originally had a very bitter flavor and also a kind of tart or hard to describe, maybe not tart, but also kind of just dry and also, well, you get the point. Not so sweet, kind of coarse, kind of coarse flavor. And so what happens is that to get rid of the bitter flavor, we would add milk. I'm sorry. Bitter sugar. To take care of the bitter flavor, we would add sugar. To take care of this coarse flavor, this tartness, then we add milk. So after drowning the tea with milk and sugar, then you come out with some kind of drink that has a little bit of tea flavor in it. And actually, you know, most of it is covered by this other stuff. And it's not as close to the natural flavor as tea, as originally, you know, the tea tastes. But actually, it's not only in the West that things are added to tea to make it more flavorful. Actually, according to the records of Chinese history, before the Han Dynasty, even before the Tang Dynasty, there are records that people would add things to tea. Like what? They would add ginger, or they would add some other kind of herb, or some other kind of plant to make the tea tastier. So even back then in China, people were adding things to tea to change the flavor, to make it more flavorful. So we can see that tea, you know, goes from being a kind of medicine, this healthy drink, and also as a beverage, it's become a kind of art to create a flavor which people can enjoy when drinking tea.
所以到了汉朝过后呢，尤其是在唐朝的时候，越来越多喝茶的这个资料就记录下来。好，那么那个时候呢，我们发现到说还是有用一些佐料或者是一些香料来配合这个茶。用煮的方式，然后这种喝法呢，其实现在在中国有一些少数民族还在用，啊，他们还有一些，就是除了茶以外，还加一些东西下去煮，啊，那么这种方式呢，到唐朝的时候，慢慢呢有了改变，啊，因为其中有一个叫做陆仪的人，啊，那么这个人呢，对茶做了非常深入的研究。那么他写了一部书叫做《茶经》，啊，全世界第一部讲茶的这个经典著作，啊，非常重要的一本书。那么这个陆仪呢，他就提倡 要纯喝茶，就是说我们喝茶就是要喝茶的味道。那么我们怎么煮茶？哦，他那个时候呢非常的讲究，有很多茶的这个用具哦，他这边把它写下来，这个他自己训练好了啊，我都忘记了。那么用这种方法呢，然后茶的制作的方式也已经有了很大的这个改变。好，不过当时呢那个时代一般上喝的茶还是以所谓绿茶为主。那么绿茶的话呢，就是没有发酵的茶，就是没有经过任何发酵的这个茶。那要保存它呢，他们就要有一些工序，然后把这个茶的一种发酵的功能停止下来。那么这个发酵的功能停止了以后呢，还把这个茶可能做了一些所谓脱水的这个作用，把它的茶叶呢晒干，然后我们就可以保持。那有些呢还把它压成一块一块的小小的这个茶的，像一块一块的饼干啊，要用的时候呢才把这个茶剥出来，然后呢再把它磨碎，磨成这个粉，然后再来煮啊。那么那个时候呢，陆仪呢就提倡说喝茶要纯喝茶，所以那个时候我们可以说茶的这个艺术呢就之前已经在发展，但是到了陆仪的时代呢，这种纯喝茶的观念就是说喝茶就是喝茶，那么要喝出茶的这个味道来，那么要喝出它的美味的话呢，那么茶的这个制作就要加一些制作的方法，一些工序下去。那么除了这个以外呢，泡茶的技术也要加强啊，泡茶的方法也要调整改变。那么这个时候调整改变的时候，就要需要用到很多的茶具，然后要把这个茶泡得很好的话呢，除了制茶的工序、制茶的这个技术以外呢，泡茶的技术也要加上去。所以这个时候呢，我们可以说是真正的茶艺从那个时候可以算是慢慢的形成啊。之前都知道说要把茶的味道喝得好，但是呢又发现说这个茶的味道呢不容易把它泡得好，所以就加一些其他的东西上去。那现在呢就说要单纯的喝茶，那么所以呢不再加这些佐料的时候呢，怎么样再让这个茶还是那么好喝，那么就要有制作的工序、制作的技巧，就要有泡茶的这个工具、泡茶的技巧。所以慢慢的就形成了一套很完整的这个泡茶的这个艺术啊。那个时候呢中国的茶艺呢基本上在唐代呢就完成了啊。那个时候喝茶的人非常的讲究啊。那我们从中国近代有一个法门寺啊，他这个法门寺的这个地宫啊，他一个塔的地宫，然后地下的宫殿呢被发现了以后，找出了一套非常完整的唐代的这个茶具。当然那一套完整的茶具呢是皇室用的，所以当然它非常的讲究。但是呢从这样的一个过程里面就知道说，当皇家也非常重视这个茶艺的时候，就可以知道它民间是非常普及。皇室的可以非常的精致，民间的可能没有那么精致，但是呢应该有的这些工具呢一定都在里面。那么这些工具呢发现到说跟陆仪茶经里面的记录呢是相符合的，也表示说在唐代的时候呢中国的茶艺已经完成了。
So with this method of adding things to tea to make itmore tasty, tastier beverage. The method that was used in ancient China for, like, you know, adding ginger, adding these other kinds of herbs or spices to it, you know, again, you boil it and you cook it all together. We find that even today, in some areas of China, there are some groups of people who use this method of cooking tea, almost like a soup. You know? But we find in the historical records of China that later on, especially in the Tang Dynasty, we find records of a person whose name was Lu Yi. And this person actually did an incredible amount of research into tea drinking. At this point, we could say that tea became an art, where this person, Lu Yi, he emphasized drinking pure tea, you know, not adding all these things to it, adding flavors, but finding a way to get the essential flavor out of the tea and have it become, you know, an art form in doing so. So in his research, in trying to find a way to make tea enjoyable and drinkable for everyone, he found methods of stopping the fermentation process. Because we talked about, you know, when tea is completely fermented, we get what? Hong cha, what's considered black tea. And this is completely fermented. Whereas at that time of Lu Yi, he also found ways to stop that process by, for example, sun-drying the leaves or even packing the leaves into kind of small cubes, small, almost like a cookie shape or a biscuit shape, in that when you wanted to take drink the tea, at that time you would just take that small piece and then use the tea. And so this process of stopping the fermentation of the leaves, what you get is green tea, what we call green tea. And so he did that. You know, he found out how to process the tea to maintain a certain flavor. He also did research into all of the tools that you need to brew a delicious pot of tea. You know, we have all the tools written here. I don't know if we'll use them. But there's many different kinds of tools or utensils that are used in making fine tea. And it was at that time of this person, Lu Yi, during the Tang Dynasty, where he developed a complete set of tea utensils. And in addition to the utensils, there's also a particular method in brewing the tea, serving the tea, drinking the tea. All of this has been refined and into a complete set of how to enjoy tea. And again, it was developed into an art form at this time. In more recent years, in a temple, in a monastery in China, this monastery is called Famen Monastery, or Dharma Gate Monastery. And this monastery, in the below the basement, there was a
like a
time capsule, I think we use, to preserve all of these artifacts of that time, when Famen Monastery, when Dharma Gate Monastery was at its, you could say, cultural peak of development. They preserved all of these items in this time capsule, this giant underground place. And what was discovered when this whole time capsule was discovered, this they found a complete set of tea, you know, how to drink tea. And actually, the set of utensils and set of instructions was completely in accordance with this great connoisseur of tea, Lu Yi, with what he had designed and created. And so, you know, at this point within the Chinese history, in the Tang Dynasty, tea became an art form. So again, we have how to process the tea leaves, the tools of drinking tea, and the method of which we drink tea.
那么在这个时候呢，茶也传到日本去了，所以日本人拿到的这个茶是属于绿茶， 他们会制作的就是绿茶，因为那个时候呢用的茶都是绿茶。但是日本人后来发展出来的这个茶艺呢，茶道，他们叫茶道的时候呢，它泡法呢不是唐朝的泡法，是宋朝的泡法啊。那么中国本身呢继续发展这个茶艺，然后到宋代的时候呢又有了一些比较不同的这个泡法出现。那么这一套泡法呢完全传到日本去，但是到了日本以后呢，日本人自己本身呢在更加使到它更精致化，然后呢跟他们自己本身的这种所谓武士道的这种精神呢结合起来啊，就变成现代的茶道。如果我们看到现在日本人在泡茶的时候呢非常的惊叹啊，他们泡茶的那种工序呢非常的精细，然后呢甚至他们每一个动作呢都非常的精准，他可能练习了好几千要放在哪里，然后你的心的那个程序。日本人发展出来的一种茶道就是用啊把一个人的整个身心安定下来，然后让他呢完全进入到这个泡茶的程序里面，然后非常精准的把，然后训练一个人呢能够经过这种训练的人呢这个泡茶的程序上面啊，当然这个是日本人的一种方式。那么在中国本身呢，唐代的时候茶发展到很兴旺的时候，其实是跟寺庙有结合的，那么所以呢慢慢的茶跟我们中国的禅法呢也慢慢的结合起来。
So at this point in the history of tea, this Tang Dynasty, drinking tea was this art form emerged. At that point, tea was then banned. And so the tea, but actually also when it was brought to Jint, and we know that, which includes, you know, grinding the tea into a powder. But the whole was combined with, and this refined.To the point where every single movement has to be so precise. Every movement of serving the tea, drinking the tea, and even where you place something. For example, when they place a certain utensil or a certain object, they have to do it in a very precise. They may have practiced so many times.And so the drinking and serving tea in the body and mind, where this, it becomes, you could say that while in mind to a calm and clear, great clarity and process of engaging in tea solved in Japan. And if we developed in China, practice of tea drinking at its peak, monasteries, in Chan monasteries, in just path of tea is in this.
一个是，那么这个陆仪呢他不是出家人，他是在寺庙，那么他这个师父呢就研究那么他的茶呢泡的非常泡的茶，那么后来月灵去找一些茶，陆仪离开了他师父以后的茶不在了，所以很常被一个请去了，这个师父呢被请去了，他觉得说喝不上就尝一下，这个是陆仪泡的茶，泡的茶，但是呢喝，哎，这个是说明了说那个时候这个师父呢品茶的我们就知道这是陆仪的，他的这种技术完了一种不同的，他泡出来的茶可以品出那么精，传说也可能我们都觉得嘿这样子的一个故事里的一个发展，他长大陆仪的师父知道说茶跟寺庙好茶，都跟寺庙是中国佛教跟茶现象
of tea in China 陆仪 this person of dynasty there's a legend said to have grown up in a monastery and a teacher, an old monk. Actually, he would serve this old monk tea. And in serving the old monk tea, he was in refining this process of teacher tea, this old monk's beef. He left the monastery a bunch of finer tea. And it was said that after that, his teacher felt that this tea, or he drink this tea, that it's just not the same. That same faithful disciple Louis served him. And so Louis went off doing his research and visiting places. And one day, this old monk was invited to someone's, it was maybe an official's home. He was invited as a guest. And the host was going to serve him tea. So he originally thought, well, if I drink this tea, I don't like tea. I only like Louis' tea. But if I don't drink this tea, it wouldn't be very polite. So, okay, I'll drink it. And he accepted this host's offering of tea. And he drank the tea. And he noticed, this tea is very... This must be Louis' tea, and he felt it actually. The flavor was just like the tea that his faithful disciple Louis would serve to him in the past. He thought, Louis must be here. He must be at this place. And he never saw the person. He didn't see him, his disciple, but he knew. He knew that he was here. He must have ended up at this host's house serving tea. And this is the legend. And this story illustrates, actually, whether it's true or not. It's a beautiful story, actually. Chinese stories are quite nice in this way, these legends. But it illustrates that the art of tea at that point in time was refined to such a level that the people who were drinking tea or serving tea, for the person who's tasting the tea, it goes to show that this old monk in the story, his ability to taste that subtle flavor that only his disciple would be able to create by serving that tea, soaking the tea. His ability to detect that subtle flavor was there. He had this kind of cultivation, this sensitivity. And also it shows that this disciple in the story, Louis, shows that for people who were making tea, brewing tea, it was also refined to such an art that to make a truly, genuinely fine tasting tea also required an incredible amount of skill and, again, sensitivity. So it shows that tea at that point was not only an art, but also included this kind of self-cultivation, this cultivation of one's sensitivity of body and mind.
所以呢，茶跟禅宗结合，那实际上呢，我们常常说茶禅一味啊，那么这个是。一方面呢，是中国本身这个禅宗出现的时候，他认为所有的这个我们的五根接触到的五尘都可以作为修行的方法，所以禅呢就跟生活完全结合，然后再把它提升到说跟所有的艺术结合，因为艺术呢是我们生活里面我们的文化里面呢最精致的部分最美的部分啊、哦，所以呢禅要通过这些生活的方法，还有呢我们的这个艺术的一些方式呢来达到一种修道的这个作用，修禅的这个作用。那么这个是禅本身的一种这个精神啊、尤其是中国的禅宗，因为它是大乘佛法的这个禅法，所以呢它是完全跟生活结合，然后跟这个艺术结合。然后另外一方面呢，茶本身呢在发展的过程中也越来越达到更精致的一种很高的这个境界。 哦，就是一种非常美的这种味觉的这种作用，然后这种一种品尝，一种欣赏。那么所以呢，两者呢就结合起来。那么再加上说，中国的寺庙里面大部分都种茶，然后这个茶艺在继续在中国呢继续发展的过程，跟禅宗结合了以后呢，它走茶禅的路线。啊，跟日本的那种非常精致的这个程序的茶道的方向呢，有点不同，啊，但是呢，中国禅宗在应用这个茶作为修行的方法，一种茶禅的时候呢，它也有一些非常重要的这个过程，就是说，我们必须要先学会泡茶的方法。那么你要学会泡茶的方法呢，有好多的这个条件。啊，一方面呢，你对茶要有认识，因为我们现在呢，基本上有好几大类的茶，比如说我们有没有发酵的绿茶，然后我们有半发酵的这个乌龙茶，还有呢完全发酵的这个啊所谓的红茶，那么还有呢我们加一些花茉莉花下去的这个叫做香片这个花茶，还有呢也有所谓的白茶。黄茶，那么中国的茶类呢是最多的，那么那么多的茶呢，我们都要认识，基本的认识都一定要有。如果你对它做了更深入的研究，当然你对茶的个性啊，茶有个性的哦。那个性的意思是什么呢？就是比如说是绿茶，你要怎么把绿茶泡得好，你要知道绿茶的个性，你用太热的水泡下去，浸泡太久，这个绿茶就很难喝了，所以你就要用稍微低一点的温度，然后呢在泡绿茶的时候呢不能浸泡太久，那这个绿茶的这种香啊那个美味全部就发挥出来。所以这个方法呢，你要了解这个茶的个性，了解茶的个性，要泡它的时候我们要工具啊，所以茶具啊，那么用这个茶具的时候呢，那么你要掌控这个水温啊，哎，然后再除了这个以外呢，还有一个气氛啊，哎，喝茶要有一个气氛，像在这里呢要帮你们泡一杯茶都不容易，对不对？为什么没有这个气氛啊？所以呢也要具备这些条件，然后还有环境，那么这些条件全部都具备了以后，你能够泡出一泡最美味的茶。那么这些程序呢，这些条件你都要先学，你学会了以后，你就能够把这个茶它的原味泡出来。那么中国人喝茶呢，中国人认为呢茶最美的味就是它的原味，所以原味就是绿茶泡出来是绿茶的味，乌龙茶泡出来是乌龙茶的味，然后红茶泡出来是红茶的味，不能把绿茶泡成红茶啊，不能把红茶泡成绿茶，那就不是它的原味啊。那么要泡出这个原味呢，你对这个茶的个性要了解，甚至对茶具的个性你要了解啊。这个茶呢，这个茶具呢比较保温还是不保温，这些你都要了解，了解了以后呢，你就能够把茶的原味呢泡出来。那么这个呢是通过各种因缘把这个茶泡到它最美的味，就是它的原味出来。那么这个是中国茶的茶艺，然后走到茶禅的一个过程啊。那所以这个茶的技术呢，泡茶的技术，对茶的这些了解一定要都知道，甚至呢你要完整的知道，甚至呢要非常深入的了解，那么你才能够把这个茶泡出那么美的味，像鹿乙泡出来，他师傅就知道这个是鹿乙泡的茶，那么这个是很深的一种功力啊。
So we see that tea, the art of tea, in China, it was interlinked with Chan, Chan practice and also Chan monasteries. We found in the records that in Chan monasteries, they also grow tea. But we can see why is tea drinking, the art of tea, so interlinked, so connected with Chan? And we see that, well, within Chan, within Mahayana Buddhism, especially the Chan school, it makes use of all of the different sense organs as tools for cultivating the path or for cultivating Chan practice. So in using all of these sense organs, for example, with tea drinking, it makes use of the organ of the tongue or the sense of taste. And refining this practice of tasting is a way to cultivate Chan, to cultivate one's mind. The other organs or the other senses just encompass actually all of the arts. So with music, literature, painting, etc., all of these practices were made use of by the Chan school as a means to cultivate the path. And in this way, it took daily life. You know, it took the aspects of art, which is a part of daily life and a part of daily life culture, and incorporated methods of Chan with that. And this is actually characteristic of Mahayana Buddhism, Chan in particular. So at this point, you know, tea evolved again into not only an art form, but a kind of personal cultivation. And it did so in a slightly different way than the direction it took in Japan. In Japan, there's one kind of tea, and they have their own method of serving tea and drinking tea. Whereas in China, just in terms of the different kinds of tea, there are so many different kinds of tea, and you have to be familiar with all of them if you want to really be a master tea drinker or a master of this tea practice. For example, we have green tea, which is not fermented. We have half-fermented tea, which is called oolong tea. Completely fermented tea is called red tea. And then what else? A black tea. And then we have, you know, you add little flower petals or add little pieces of flower to the tea and you get jasmine tea, or flower tea. And then what? There's also yellow tea, white tea, all these different kinds of tea. And so if you want to brew a tasty pot of a certain kind of tea, you have to know the tea's temperament, actually. Tea has temperament. Tea has a certain character to it. Every kind of tea has a certain character. And you have to understand this character. Why? Because if you want to make, for example, a good green tea, then you have to know how to brew green tea. You don't want to be brewing green tea and getting something that tastes like black tea. Or brewing a black tea and getting something that tastes like, you know, white tea. You have to know the character of the tea. For example, in making green tea, you can't use too high of a temperature of water. It has to be slightly below a certain temperature. And you can't brew it for too long. If you brew it for too long and it's too hot, boiling, then you get, you know, you ruin the flavor of the tea. If you use just the right temperature and brew it for just the amount of time, you get this delicious tasting tea. And in Chinese tea making, in this art of tea, they value the original flavor of that kind of tea. And again, the original flavor being that you want to be able to brew that certain quality from that certain kind of tea. You want to be able to get that flavor, the essence of that flavor from the tea. So just in terms of knowing or being familiar with different kinds of tea, this is also a very refined kind of skill and knowledge. And so we can see that in Chinese tea drinking, it encompasses all of this. We have tea as a medicine, tea as a nutritious drink, tea as an art form, and tea as a way of personal cultivation. This is all included in this art of tea making. And
now we 讲到茶禅，就刚才我们提到说茶禅呢，中国的禅就是要达到这个 开悟的境界。然后我们茶禅呢，喝茶就是要喝到茶的原味，最美的味。那你要开悟的话呢，你要有熟悉的方法，然后呢，你要正确的知见啊。那熟悉的方法，你在禅修啊，用这个直观的方法来修，然后你有正确的知见，最后呢，你禅修的方法跟你所具备的这个知见呢结合了，你达到这个开悟。那么禅的运作呢是这样子的一个过程。那么茶禅的运作呢，就是我要怎么样把这个茶泡出最好的味道，所以我要有非常好的这个技巧。然后呢，我对这个茶的茶具呢，所有的茶具的个性呢非常的了解啊，包括茶壶还有其他的这些工具呢都很了解。然后呢，也了解到这个水啊，中国人喝茶非常讲究这个水啊，不好的水泡出来的茶也不好喝，所以讲究这个水。然后还有呢，就讲究这个茶，所以所有的这些条件呢我都具备了，我的技巧呢非常的好，所以就能够把这个茶的原味泡出来。当我把这个茶的原味泡出来的时候呢，就达到这个目标，达到我的目的啊。那要完成这个目的的话呢，我之前要做好很多准备的工作。但是当我掌握所有的这些技巧的时候呢，我就能够充分的发挥，然后我们叫做熟能生巧。我非常熟悉的时候呢，可能我手上的这个茶具呢不完整，可能我得到的茶不是我想要的茶，但是呢我还是能够把这个茶泡出它最好的味道。那么这样子的一个过程呢，就表示说这个人在学习这个茶艺的时候啊，他已经可以提升到这个所谓茶禅的境界。因为呢他能够把茶最美的味泡出来，那么茶最美的味就是这个茶的原味。假如这个茶呢它不是一个很高品质的茶，那么我手上的这个工具呢也不是最好的工具，但是呢当这两个结合起来的时候，我还是可以把这个茶泡得很好喝，泡出它的美味来。那就是表示说我的技巧非常的好。那我要达到这个技巧呢，我对茶、对茶具、对水，还有我自己本身在掌握这所有的条件的那个技巧。那么这样子的话呢，我对整个泡茶的过程呢就要非常的熟悉。那么这个熟悉呢，之前要准备的功夫是经过很多专注的功夫，那么经过很多的这个学习的过程，最后呢把它结合起来。那么结合了以后呢，我不会只是停留在一个地方，或者是停留在某种茶，或者是停留在某种技术，而是我所有的这些掌握了以后呢，我超越了他们。中国的茶禅是这样的一个过程，我超越了所有的这些工具，或者是茶，或者是水的这个个性，我明白他们，所以我超越他们，我不受他们约束了。所以呢，不管我手上有什么茶具，不管我手上有什么茶，我都能够把它泡出最好的味道来。那么这个就是茶禅。你达到这个境界的时候呢，就是表示说茶的这个技巧，泡茶的这个技术呢已经跟我的生活完全结合，也是就是说在日常生活里面，不管我到哪里，我不需要带我的东西，我不需要带我最好的茶，不需要带我最好的茶具，我才能够品到好茶。就是我身边有什么茶，我都能够把它泡出最好的味道。所以我品茶的话呢，都是当下的因缘啊，就是在当下。当下是什么因缘，我掌握了以后呢，我就能够把这个因缘呢发挥到它最美的境界中。那么这个就是中国茶的这个境界，就是茶禅的境界。那么这样的境界呢需要 很长的时间，不断的练习这个技巧，不断的去了解这个茶具，不断的了解这个茶叶，不断的去对这个水做一些平常的这个过程。那么这些呢，全部结合了，你就能够达到这个境界。那么达到这个境界呢，就等于说在禅宗的修学里面像是开悟了。你修禅修到开悟了以后呢，处处都是佛法了，处处都是禅。你不需要找个地方，特别的地方来打坐禅修，你任何一个地方，你的身心都是统一的，你的身心都是安住在那个智慧的状态。那么这样子呢，就是禅的一种悟境。那么茶的悟境呢，就是你能够在任何一个时刻，手上有任何一种茶，任何一种工具，你都能够把它泡出最好的味道来，那就是茶禅的这个境界。
So the practice of Chan and this art or practice of tea are identical. When we look at the ultimate goal of Chan practice, it's enlightenment. And how do we reach enlightenment? How do we realize this? Well, it takes methods, the familiarization with a method of practice, the continuous practice of this method, as well as having the proper concepts, proper views behind the practice. And so with the methods, the proper views, by using them both together, by continually practicing, eventually one will realize this goal of enlightenment. We mentioned earlier that there's the saying, Tea Chan is of a single flavor. What does that mean? Well, with this practice of the art of tea or Tea Chan, the goal, the ultimate goal is to be able to brew this original flavor, to get the essential flavor out of this certain kind of tea and to be able to taste it and brew it. And how does one do that? Well, again, one has to be familiar with the characteristics of all these different kinds of tea. One has to be familiar with the tools, the utensils for brewing the tea. One has to be familiar with even the water, if you've heard that, in making tea, with this Chinese tea making, a lot of emphasis is placed on the water, because if the water isn't good, the tea that you brew will not be good. So even the water, the quality or the type of water, one has to be familiar with. Also, one has to be familiar with these other kinds of conditions that we talked about, having the proper environment, and again, the proper method of brewing, serving the tea. If one doesn't have this experience, if one doesn't have this understanding of the tea, and again, this continuous practice, this continuous familiarization with tea and brewing tea, then one will not be able to get that original flavor from the tea. However, if we look at someone who is highly accomplished in brewing tea, in this art of Tea Chan, there's a saying that no matter what kind of materials are there, for someone who is skilled, they can still brew a great pot of tea. Even if the water's bad, even if the tea is not such a good quality, even if the tools themselves are not very good, if a person is so skilled at making tea, so experienced, and reached such a level of accomplishment that with all of these conditions being not so ideal, because they are very familiar with the kind of tea, they're very familiar with what kind of water that is, they're very familiar with the tools, regardless of if they're of good quality or not, when they brew the tea, when they make this tea, they can still make a good pot of tea. And so basically, with whatever conditions that person is presented with, this person can make a good pot of tea. And this is very similar to this person who has realized enlightenment through chan practice. No matter what conditions they're faced with, wherever they are, to them, everything is Buddha Dharma. Everything is practice. They don't have to go find a special place to go and sit and meditate. Wherever they are, with whatever conditions they're faced with, in that present moment, at that very moment, they're in accord with these causes and conditions, and they're able to use their wisdom in dealing with the situation. So for this person, everywhere, they're free, and their mind is calm and fully present with these causes and conditions. So, the practice of chan is like this. It requires an incredible amount of time, dedication, understanding, skill in practice, and through this process, one can eventually reach the state where, at all times, everyone is in, one is in that state of chan. And again, it's identical with this practice of the art of tea, or tea chan. If one is accomplished enough, learned enough, skilled enough in making tea, with whatever conditions they're presented with, they can brew out the original flavor of that tea.
那这个是讲说，这个人用茶的方式呢来修禅，最后呢他能够完成，然后呢就达到这个茶禅的这个境界。那么另外一种情况呢，就是假如一个人呢他达到这个境界的时候，他在品茶，所有的茶对他来说呢基本上都是好茶啊。那这样子的一种境界呢，很多同学可能说，不过我们也有，我们也有啊。因为呢我们有时候泡茶给同学喝啊，有时候我们拿好一点的茶泡了，他喝了没什么反应，再拿一些比较茶给他喝也没有什么反应，问他的时候他说差不多啊。那么遇到这样的人呢，我们怎么办呢？我们大概就每次他来就拿最差的茶请他喝好了，因为他都差不多那这个差不多呢，不是表示说他的境界很高，就表示说他境界很低，或者是他根本没有进入到茶艺的这个境界。那么进到茶艺境界的人呢，他就要分了啊。那么遇到这样的人呢，我们知道他懂茶，我们会拿好茶来招待他啊。那因为他会品嘛，所以品茶呢，一方面是舌根在品，另外一方面呢是鼻根在嗅，还有呢就是眼根在观赏。好茶的叶子呢都特别美，它有光泽，色泽也非常的好。啊，好茶一定是这样子的，所以色、香、味，然后呢，要在一个很舒服的环境，这个身根也很舒服，然后放点音乐，啊，那就是把五根呢都放进去了，然后呢，心安定下来，连我们的心也加进去了，你就可以品到好茶。但是如果你是在这个时候呢，品的都是一定要好的茶，假设说你的境界还在茶艺那边，然后这样子的境界呢，我们出门的时候都要把自己的好茶具带着走。好，那如果你在提升到茶禅的时候呢，就是假设说你品过了所有的茶，每一种茶你都可以品出它最好的味道。这个时候呢，你品茶的时候是什么茶你都可以品，但是呢茶不同的地方你都知道，虽然知道，但是呢你不加以计较它啊。好茶跟不好的茶其实进口呢是真的不一样的，但是呢你有了这个境界以后呢，你都能够欣赏，即使这个茶不是很好的茶你还是可以欣赏，因为呢它就是茶。那么只要泡出来的时候有那个茶的味道，这个就是茶了，然后你就会非常的欢喜啊，那么接受所有的茶。那么有些还在茶艺的境界的时候，他喝到不好的茶，他会受不了， 啊，因为他舌根还在计较，还在分别。那么到茶禅的境界的时候呢，就是你分别得出茶味的好和不好，但是呢，你都能够包容，都能够欢喜的去接受它、欣赏它。那么这个时候呢，你问他这些茶都好吗？他可能也说差不多，但是他这个差不多境界不一样啊。那他因为经过了这个茶艺，他对所有茶的味道呢，都已经品得出来了。多数这个时候呢，他不会讲差不多，他都会觉得很好，每种茶都很好。那么这个呢，就是他一个人品茶品到这个境界的时候呢，他就能够把它完全的变成是他生活中的一部分。然后呢，品茶是一种享受，既然是一种享受呢，就不管什么茶对你来说都是一种享受了啊。所以如果能够再达到这个品茶的这个境界的话呢，你可以品所有的好茶，还有包括那些不好的茶，但是呢都是满心欢喜的接受它。那么这样子呢，我们到哪里呢都可以喝到好茶。那到什么地方呢，别人泡的茶对你来说都可以是好茶。
So in terms of stages, you could say seeing tea as an art, or having the art of tea versus tea chan. You could say there's a difference there. For example, for a person who has reached this accomplishment in tea chan, any tea they drink actually is good tea. And some of us may think, oh yeah, well, I can experience that. I experience that. And you give this person some tea, and no matter what tea you give them, they'll probably say, if you ask them, you know, so how is it? How's the tea? They'll probably say, it's okay. And not much of a reaction from them. And so probably next time when we serve them tea, we just give them, you know, the poorer quality tea. You don't use the expensive tea on this person. And but their experience of all tea as being the same is different than someone who has reached this, you could say, attainment through tea chan. For example, the person who just says it's okay, it's whatever, it's the same as the other tea, they may not be experienced at all in drinking tea. They're not able to distinguish good tea from poor quality tea. Whereas a person who is accomplished in tea chan, they may say that, well, you know, again, tea chan is of a single flavor. To them, all tea is the same. All tea is good tea. But what's the difference here? The difference here is that for a person who has reached this accomplishment through tea practice, tea chan, when they drink the tea, they're very clearly aware of the taste. They're very clearly aware of the quality of the tea. But after drinking the tea, no matter what, because they're not adding a kind of comparison, their own experience, and judging the tea as being good or bad, they very clearly know the taste and the flavor and the quality of the tea, but their mind isn't disturbed by all of these judgments. So because of that, regardless of the taste, they're able to appreciate that kind of tea, and they're able to enjoy that tea. So to them, in this way, it's the same. And with this practice of appreciating tea, again, we make use of this sensitivity, the sense of taste. We drink the tea. Also, the smell, the enjoying the smell of the tea. Also, the appearance of the tea. Because with good tea, you know, even the leaves have a certain kind of appearance in a good quality tea. Also, what else do you have? In a comfortable environment, your body feels comfortable. What else? Turn on some nice music, and then you have sound, pleasant sound to appreciate. So with this practice of tea chan, you're incorporating all of the sense organs, this sensitivity and this ability to appreciate all of these sensations into the practice itself. And In this way, for a person who is able to, again, be clearly aware of the quality of this tea that they're drinking, be clearly aware of the experience without judging or comparing, they can appreciate any tea and any circumstance. Whereas if you look at a person who's kind of just on a level of appreciating tea as an art form, if you give them, like, you know, this poor quality tea, they wouldn't be able to continue to drink it. They wouldn't drink it. So we can see there's a difference there. In appreciating tea as an art, maybe this person would have to bring all of their tea tools with them wherever they go in order to enjoy a good cup of tea. Whereas for someone who has realized this chan through tea, wherever they go, whatever tea they drink, in whatever they conditions they find themselves in, they can enjoy the tea, enjoy the situation, and have this clarity and calmness of mind.
好，我们时间差不多了。那么这个茶禅的这个境界，跟禅的境界一样，禅呢是有了智慧，它能够分辨善恶，但是呢，它能够包容一切。那么我们一些人呢是不懂得分辨善恶，觉得都差不多一样啊。那善的跟恶的呢，它都混淆不清的，那他觉得差不多一样。跟那个茶呢，好味跟不好味，它都混淆不清，然后说差不多一样，啊，那是没有修行的。修行了以后呢，你就懂得分别善恶，恶的不做，善的要多做。然后到最后呢，你慢慢的提升到空的境界的时候呢，你很清楚的知道善恶，但是呢，你能够包容，啊，你能够包容一切，因为你用智慧来看待他们。那么喝茶也是一样，你开始不懂得喝茶，好茶不好的茶都一样，都差不多。然后到你开始学习茶艺的时候呢，不好的茶就喝不下去了啊，好的茶呢就能够喝，然后尽量喝好茶，不喝不好的茶。可是到你能够达到茶禅的时候呢，对你来说所有的茶所有的味道你都非常的清楚，但是你都能够包容，都能够欣赏它。那么这个是茶和禅啊相符合的地方。那么中国的茶如果跟修行结合起来，它就是这样的一个过程，这样的一个境界。
So again, chan practice and tea chan, the true art of tea. You could say this experience is identical, where for a person with realization in chan, they have wisdom. Wisdom meaning that they're still very clear as to what is wholesome or unwholesome. They're very clear about it, but they're able to accept all situations, able to understand, accept, and work with all situations. Whereas someone without this wisdom, they're not clear at all what the difference between wholesome and unwholesome is, good and bad. And so they just think, well, it's all the same, whatever. And good or bad, whatever you do is fine. A person with wisdom is clear about this wholesome and unwholesome, good and bad. So they choose to do what is unwholesome. They avoid doing what is unwholesome. If we go a step further, for someone who has realized emptiness, then, again, one still has clear wisdom, clear awareness of what is good, bad, wholesome or unwholesome, but they can completely accept and completely be okay with the situation and use their wisdom to deal with each situation. And with drinking tea, with tea chan, again, one is very clear of the different flavors, the quality of the tea. It's not that every kind of tea is the same, but one is very clear and aware of the quality of the tea and can appreciate all kinds of tea, regardless of the quality being poor, the quality being good. One can still appreciate that quality of tea as it is. Whereas someone who's kind of stuck in just seeing tea as an art, well, they have to have good tea in order to appreciate tea. And if they have bad tea, well then, you know, they probably wouldn't drink it. So again, we can see this accomplishment in Chan cultivation as well as in Qi Chan as being identical, being clearly aware of the differences, the qualities between good and bad, yet being able to accept, appreciate, and use wisdom to deal with whatever causes and conditions we're faced with. And so this is Chan and Qi.
好，我们就讲到这里了，谢谢大家。
Okay, thank you, everyone.
大众请起立 ，please stand up. 宝，宝 again. Please face center.恭送法师出坛。Thank you. Please help us to clean up the Chan Hall. We need to have 20 chairs.And upstairs, and the rest have to go to the basement. 我们要留二十张椅子，请大家靠墙摆。剩下的，请大家帮忙搬到地下室。